I've always been a waiter. Not like a waiter, I'm too clumsy for like, you know, cafe. But I've always been a waiterer, like someone who's waiting. Always been a waiting person. Even from when I was young, it was either drilled into me or it's just part of who I am. You don't turn up on time, you turn up early. I've always been a waiter. I've got there early, I've turned up early, I've waited for whatever it may be. I've got kids now, so I'm always late, but I'm always waiting for them to be ready. I've always been a waiter, even from when I was little. I can remember that I used to play rugby as a kid. I was in Beavers and Cubs, and as would happen sometimes, you know, parents would share lifts between different people, and if it was our turn to do the lifting, we'd be sat outside someone's house in the car early waiting for them. It's my turn to be picked up. My parents' house has got kind of bay windows downstairs, and I'd be stood in the bay window looking up the road, ready for the lights of the car to come. And as I saw the lights of the car getting closer, I'd run out the front door so that I was ready. I'm a nightmare to travel with. If check-in opens 2 hours early, I've got to be there 2 hours early. I've spent countless hours standing on train station platforms in the freezing cold early in the morning, earlier than I need to be, waiting and watching for that light in the distance, getting closer and closer so that I'm there on time. And the season that we're in called Advent is really all about that. It's about waiting, but not simply waiting for nothing, but waiting and watching, waiting with an expectancy, remembering that we celebrate that Jesus came, but we also remember that Jesus is among us now, but we're watching and waiting for what he is doing now, because Jesus will come again. And when Jesus comes again, we need to be ready and prepared, watching and waiting. Where Advent is about watching and waiting and trusting, that he will come again, trusting that God will come through. And actually, we live in many Advents, don't we? We're often waiting for God to answer that prayer, for that healing to come, for that relationship to be restored, for the reconciliation to take place. We're often waiting for God to come through. But we're not called to simply wait, but to wait and to watch. And Jesus gives us a picture of what this looks like in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a parable, a story about what it means to not simply wait, but to wait and watch. Matthew 25 from verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in the jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." You see, the foolish ones, they simply waited. They waited, they weren't prepared, but they were there in the waiting, weren't they? They were there with the other five. But five were watching and waiting, they were prepared. And are we watching and waiting at the same time right now? Are we waiting on God, trusting in him, but are we also watching? Are we looking for the signs of God? Are we prepared? Are we rooting ourselves again in the truth of who God is, in knowing what his word says, in coming to him regularly in prayer, so that we know and we see the signs of God at work? It's one of the reasons we're doing the podcast through Advent, is so that we immerse ourselves in that story of the coming of Jesus once again, rooted in his word, rooted with some space in our day to listen to him, to watch and to wait for the move of God that is coming. That's what Advent is really all about. And we live in a second Advent, of waiting for the return of Christ. And Advent really is a reminder for us, a reminder that, the kingdom came when Jesus came to the earth. He often said and he preached, the kingdom of God has come near. And the kingdom is here. We see moments of kingdom breakthrough as we pray, as we see answered prayer, as we see God moving and going ahead of us. Yet the kingdom hasn't yet fully come, but will come. And we're called to watch and wait and be ready and prepared for these things. Because Christ came and he's here with us and he will come again. I don't know about you, but I find the hardest thing with waiting is the uncertainty. It's the not knowing. It's the not knowing when. You see, I understand this because I've traveled by public transport. I've waited to see if it's ever going to turn up. We're called to wait and to watch, but we watch with the expectancy that Christ will come. And in the narrative of the coming of Jesus, maybe the person that we can look at most when it comes to waiting is Zechariah. And I think there's so many lessons we learned from the story of Zechariah in the temple. And we're going to take 2 weeks, a mini series, to look at the life of Zechariah. Dave's going to share next week more on Zechariah. We're going to look at Zechariah today as well. And if you're in small groups, there'll be some questions this week and next week that look at the story of Zechariah and what it means to watch and to wait, to trust in the promises of God when everything else seems like it's not working out. What does it mean to really trust in God? So if you have your Bible with you, if you'd like to join me in Luke chapter 1, please. I'm just going to read verses 11 through to 20 this morning. There'll be some overlap this week and next week as well, as we really look at Zechariah's life. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're a miracle-working God who worked in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth and who still works in our lives today. And Lord, we pray for ourselves this morning and next Sunday that you would speak to us through the life of Zechariah once again. Amen. I think the hardest time for Zechariah must have been the moments after the angel had spoken and before Elizabeth conceived. I reckon those must have been the hardest days, you know, because they'd been there before. They'd had those month-on-month moments of expecting and everything not working out. I reckon those must have been the hardest months for Zechariah to kind of wait and to trust in God. What the angel said, is it going to happen? And then Elizabeth becomes pregnant, a moment of great joy. But, I mean, pregnancy is worrying at the best of times. Can you imagine what it would have been like? 9 months is what the angel said really going to happen. We've come so far, but maybe we've been here before. Is it really going to come true this time? 9 months. I struggle to wait 9 weeks, 9 days, anything. 9 months. The waiting and the wondering and the questioning. You know, simply waiting is quite frustrating. But it's when we're watching and willing that we see God fulfilling his promises to us. Like many of you, I do quite a lot of online shopping these days. And the times I find it really frustrating is, you know when it says your delivery will be between 3 and 5 days? And so you don't know which day you can go out of the house between 3 and 5 days. Inevitably, it comes the day you're out, doesn't it? It's always the way. The ones that are most helpful are the ones that say your delivery will come on Saturday between 9 and 3. You see, when we're expecting something, we can prepare ourselves. We can be ready, waiting for the doorbell to ring and the parcel to arrive. When we know something's going to happen, we're ready, we're prepared, we're expecting it to happen. This morning, are you waiting on something of God in your life? Is there something you're expecting, hoping, willing, praying for God to do? Is there a mountain that you've been praying for that still hasn't quite moved? Maybe you've been waiting on God. I want to encourage us today to both wait and to watch, to ask God to open our eyes, to see the signs of his faithfulness as we wait for the mountain to be moved, that we would see God at work in the small things as well as the big things. Because I believe God fulfills his promises to us even in the waiting, that he shows his faithfulness to us in the moments when we're waiting, but we have to watch to see it. And in Zechariah's life, we, of course, knowing the end of the story, know that John the Baptist is born. We know that God fulfills the promise, but in those 9 months, we see God working to fulfill the promise. In our own lives, sometimes we pray for things to happen. Maybe someone to be healed. Maybe the healing doesn't come. But what we see along the way is God's faithfulness in different things, in maybe a restored relationship or a deeper peace that that person has or a greater boldness in sharing their faith. We still pray for the miracle to happen. We wait and we watch and we trust. But we see the signs of God at work along the way. Christmas lists have been written in our house for many months now. They keep changing as well. But one of the things that Noah really wants is Noah wants this year a Lego Titanic. He loves the Titanic. He wants a Lego Titanic, and he's seen it. The reason he wants it is because he's looked through the catalogues, and he has seen the picture of the Lego Titanic. And we've been spending the last few weeks trying to explain to him that it may not be what you think it is. Because the thing with Lego is, when you see it, you see this. You see the finished product. No one knows this more than John Kearns. You see the finished product. And this is exciting for Noah. He wants that boat. He sees it. He wants the boat. But the thing with Lego is you see this, but you get this. We see the finished product, but it comes like this. And we've been having to explain to Noah in these weeks that the joy of Lego isn't the finished product. It's in the building. And as people, we so often want the finished product. But God's delight in us is in the building. Sometimes there's moments in our lives, isn't there, where we feel more like this than the finished product. We feel broken. There's moments when we sense the need for God to build us. We want the finished product, but God works in the building. God shows us snippets of his faithfulness. He strengthens us and he encourages us. And when we watch and we wait, we begin to see God working in the building process. And this is what we see happen in the life of Zechariah. We see a number of different things fulfilled in Zechariah's life that are part of the building process before the final thing happens. And the first is the fact that Zechariah remains silent. In verse 18, we see Zechariah ask this question. Zechariah asks the angel, how can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? And then we see the angel answer Zechariah, verse 20. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens. The fact that Zechariah remains silent is in itself a fulfillment of what God has said would happen. You see, for Zechariah, as long as he's physically unable to speak, he's able to trust what the angel has said. The angel said, Zechariah, you can't speak, and I can't speak. And so if God has been faithful in this thing, then I can trust him with the big thing as well. For as long as I'm unable to speak, I'm seeing that God is doing what he said he's done. So I can trust in this because I can physically experience it. I can see this. I can be reminded that what the angel said in this thing, and that can allow my faith to be raised to believe in the bigger promise being fulfilled also. The fact that Zechariah remains silent is a fulfillment of one of the things that God says. It's a sign, a reminder, an encouragement for Zechariah. You're struggling in the waiting, but you can see that God is still faithful. And for us, this is one of the things of what it means to watch and to wait. In the moments when we're waiting and we're struggling to see God at work, we can look in our lives to see where God has already been at work, to see the moments of God's faithfulness and allow our faith to rise that God is faithful in all of the things. As the messenger, the angel Gabriel, says the baby will be born, so also Zechariah will be silent. So as long as Zechariah is silent, he's able to trust that God can be faithful in that thing as well as in the big thing, the birth of John the Baptist. Right now, where do you see God at work? What are the moments maybe in the last month, the last 6 months, the last year where you've seen answered prayer? Hold on to these moments in the moments when you wait and struggle, knowing that God is in the process of building. And as God is faithful in those things, so we can trust God in the big things also. And then, of course, we see from verse 62 the fulfillment of what happens. And this is the moment when Zechariah is able to speak. John the Baptist has been born. It's 8 days on. They come to name him Zechariah after his father. And Elizabeth says, no, we're going to call him John. And so they signal to Zechariah. They call him over. They made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Verse 64, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free. You see, as God was faithful in him not being able to speak, that was a physical sign for Zechariah. As long as I'm unable to speak, then this shows me that God fulfills what that angel says. The angel said I couldn't speak, and that's what's happened. So now I can trust God in what the other thing is that the angel has spoken. Second little thing we see of a fulfillment of God is in Mary's visit. Mary's visit. We read in Luke 1 verse 15, the second part of it, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And then after we've finished reading about Zechariah and Elizabeth, Elizabeth becomes pregnant, Luke cuts to another story, to a parallel story. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel appears again, this time to Mary, and says, Mary, you who are highly favored, you're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to bear God's son, and his name will be Jesus, and he will save the people from their sins. And isn't it interesting? Mary asks a similar question to Zechariah. How can this be? You see, the difference is hers is filled with faith. Zechariah, how can this be? We're old. We're past it. Mary, God, I'm open to the possibility, but there's some practical things that sometimes need to take place for this to happen. But Lord, I'm open to you. I'm trusting in you. And so Mary and the angel are having this conversation, and Mary's like, well, how can this be? I want to trust you. How can this be? And the angel says, well, you know, Elizabeth, your elderly relative, your family all talk about her because she's married to a priest and they're righteous and devout, but she's not had a child. And you know what the culture's like? That's frowned upon. And so you all talk about her. You all know about her. And it's been seen that it's impossible for her to have a baby. Well, guess what, Mary? Even Elizabeth is pregnant. And so for Mary, wow. If a miracle can happen for Elizabeth to be pregnant, then I believe a miracle can happen for me as well. And so Mary goes to see Elizabeth. And this is what we read in Luke 1, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. again, we see God answer what the angel has said. The angel says to Zechariah in verse 15, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary turns up with Jesus in fetus form within her. She turns up. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist does a somersault as he is filled with the Holy Spirit within Elizabeth's womb. We see here again another answer, another fulfillment of a promise which allows Zechariah to continue to trust in God. Because when we start to watch, when we start to see for the places where God is at work, it can allow our faith to be raised. That as God works in the smaller things, that God will also come through on the big things also. We call these mercies of God, moments of God's grace, where God gives us hints and reminders, hooks to cling onto. Maybe things in our past or our present where God has answered prayer, where he's provided for us, where someone's turned up at just the right time, where God turned up just when we needed him to. And we can look back on those things and allow ourselves to trust in the big things also. If you're living with questions or doubts right now, I encourage you to go back and look at where God has been faithful in your past, to be reminded that the God who was faithful then will also be faithful now. Look for the signs of God at work. The promises may not all be fulfilled at once, but we can see God at work along the journey. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we only see a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face." We'll see snippets on the journey in this life, but one day we will see the fulfillment of what God was doing. Or maybe you've been waiting on something, but maybe like Zechariah, you'd completely given up. Be encouraged by the words of the angel to Mary in verse 37 of chapter 1, "For no word from God will ever fail." And the last little thing for us today is that when it comes to trusting in God, to watching and waiting, we need to trust that God works things out in his own timing. At the start of Luke's gospel, he's writing a letter to a guy called Theophilus, and he says, "I'm going to write you an orderly account." And through Luke's gospel, that's what we see, an orderly account. Timing is really important. And even in this first chapter, we see different moments of God's time at work. In verse 24, we're told that Elizabeth stayed in seclusion for 5 months. Verse 26, we're told it was in the sixth month of her pregnancy. In verse 56, we're told that Mary stayed 3 months, so she stayed up until the birth of John the Baptist. Verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have the baby. Again, we know that's at the 9 month period. Verse 59, we're told it's on the 8th day. This can be a reminder for us that God works in his perfect timing. So if you're waiting on things right now of God, wait and watch, trusting that his timing is perfect. And we see this demonstrated in Matthew's gospel too. We looked very briefly at the genealogy at the start of Matthew's gospel last week. And often we kind of skim those bits, don't we, those lists of names. But when we look at that list of names in Matthew's gospel, again, we see that God will fulfill his promises in God's perfect timing. In that genealogy, we see Abraham listed. And God promises to Abraham, doesn't he, that all nations will be blessed through him. Yet up until the point of Jesus coming, it was only the nation of Israel that was blessed by God, that was chosen by God. In that genealogy, we also see King David. And God promises to David that he will always have a descendant on the throne. And we follow the list of David's descendants who are on that throne. And then we get to the end of the list. We see Joseph, who married Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. And in Jesus, we see the fulfillment of both of those promises. The fulfillment of the promise to Abraham that all nations will be blessed is fulfilled in Jesus. The promise to David that he will always have a king on his throne is fulfilled in Jesus. You see, it's in God's perfect timing that the promise is fulfilled. We so often like the finished product, but God is at work in the building. We're called to watch and to wait, to look for the moments of God answering prayer, of God at work, and allow our faith to rise that God will fulfill his promises to us in his perfect perfect timing.